I would like for you to take your Bibles and open them with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Now, I'm going to speak to you today on this subject. Why did Christ die on the cross? Why Christ died? Now, everybody knows that Jesus Christ lived on the earth. All of you know that. That's an accepted fact. And everyone knows that He died on a Roman cross. Then here comes the question of all questions. If He is who He claimed to be, the eternal Son of God, if Jesus Christ is, as He said, Alpha and Omega, if He is the heir of all things, if He does in reality have all authority in heaven and earth, if He, as He said in John 17, has all power over all flesh, if He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer of His covenant people, why did He die on Calvary's cross? Why did He die? Now, according to the Apostle Paul, a person must take one of two positions in regard to the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, let me repeat that. According to the Apostle Paul, a person, that means you or me, must take one of two positions in regard to the cross of Jesus Christ. And he gives us those two positions in that verse I mentioned to you a moment ago, 1 Corinthians 1:18. In which Paul says, the preaching of the cross is to them who are perishing foolishness. But unto us who are being saved, the cross of Christ is the power of God. Now, you've got to take, in reference to the cross of Jesus Christ, His death on Calvary's tree, you've got to take one of those two positions. Either the death of Jesus Christ on the cross is foolishness, sheer nonsense, or it is in reality the very power and wisdom of God. Now, which is it to you? Is it foolishness, or is it the power and wisdom of God? You can't get in the middle now. Our Lord said, he that's not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now, I know why the cross of Jesus Christ is foolishness to those who are perishing, whether they're in the pulpit or the pew. I know why it's nonsense, because the cross of Jesus Christ, the death of the Son of God, deals with a subject in which most people have no interest. It deals with a subject in which most people have no concern. And that is the punishment of sin. The cross of Christ, the death of Christ, deals with the punishment of sin. God must and will punish sin. That's what the Scripture said. They cried, we be not sinners. We don't need a sin offering. We don't need a sacrifice. But for those who are sinners, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, for in the death of Christ, God punished our sins. That's what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 53. He said, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him, and by His stripes we're healed. All we like sheep had gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way, and God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. So you see the difference? The cross is foolishness to them who are perishing because it deals with the punishment of sin. It's the power and wisdom of God to those who believe because they realize their need of a sacrifice and of a Redeemer and a Savior. And then the cross is foolishness because it does not recognize human merit, not to any degree, or human works. The cross drags our righteousness before the searchlight of God's holy law and exposes it for what it is, guilt and filth. Filthy rags, Isaiah said. In Isaiah 64:6, he says this, we all do fade as the leaf. We're an unclean thing. Even our righteousnesses are filthy rags in God's sight. And the cross literally drags all of our sins, even the sins of our works and the sins of our best deeds, and the guilt and filth of our righteousness before the searchlight of God's law, and exposes it for what it is, self-righteousness, and pronounces us guilty. And the natural religionist does not like that kind of language because he feels like that he is holy. Now, in Christ, a believer is holy, but outside of Christ and in ourselves, there is none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, there's none holy but God. And then thirdly, the cross of Christ is foolishness because it has to do with the justice of God, with the holiness and righteousness of God. In Romans 3:26, the scripture says, Christ died that God may be just and the justifier of them that believe on Christ. In order to pardon sin, God's got to remain God. God is just and holy and righteous, and He cannot pardon sin at the expense of His justice. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? God cannot pardon sin at the expense of His holiness. God is holy. And the reason the average person looks upon the cross of Jesus Christ as foolishness is because, number one, he does not see the exceeding sinfulness of sin, his own sin. He does not see the exceeding sinfulness, vanity, and evil of our best deeds. Nor does he see the necessity of honoring God's law and the necessity of satisfying God's justice. And to him, the cross is foolishness, and that's all he can say about it. But when you see that sin must be punished, when you see that our righteousness is not equal to the holiness which God demands, when you see that God's holy law is immutable, it's infinite, it's unchangeable, and it must be honored, when you see the justice of God must be satisfied, then you say the cross of Christ is indeed the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, what do we mean by the power of God and the wisdom of God? Well, now listen to me for a moment. First of all, the cross of Christ, the death of the Son of God, is the power of God to judge and defeat Satan, to judge and defeat the prince of this world and the forces of evil. Satan was judged and defeated at Calvary. And then the cross is the power of God to put away all sin and iniquity. Sin is difficult to put away. Iniquity is difficult to put away. All the sacrifices on Jewish altars through the 3,000 years couldn't put sin away. All the tears that have ever been shed, all the repentance and all the decisions and all the feast days and holy days and sacrifices and blood offerings, they couldn't put away sin. Sin can only be put away by the blood of the Son of God. He appeared in the end of the world to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Sin is a stain that's deeper than any cleansing agent can reach except the blood of Christ. And His death is the power of God not only to judge and defeat Satan and the forces of evil and put them where they can do no more harm, but His blood is sufficient to cleanse us from every sin and every stain and every transgression. It's the power of God to put away sin. And then the death of Christ is the power of God over sin, over death, over the grave, and over hell. My friend, death has a claim on us because of sin. And the grave has a claim on our bodies. God said, dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. And hell has a claim on us because of our guilt. But the death of Christ is the power of God to reconcile the world unto Himself and to overcome the power of death and the power of the grave and the claims and power of hell. And the death of Christ is the power of God to bring in everlasting righteousness and establish His kingdom, where nothing shall enter in that worketh or maketh a lie. One of these days, God's grand design in redemption is going to be fulfilled. The heaven and earth shall melt with a fervent heat, and God says, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There'll be no more sin, no more iniquity, no more death, no more disease, no more darkness, no more tears, no more sorrow. And that was accomplished by the death of Christ. His death is the power of God to bring in everlasting righteousness. And then His death is the power of God to make men new creatures and conform all whom He saves to the image of His divine Son. And then the cross is not only the power of God, but it is the wisdom of God. In the cross of Christ, we see the wisdom of God in honoring His unchangeable, infinite, holy law. In the death of Christ, we see the wisdom of God in satisfying His unbending justice and holiness. In the death of Christ, we see the wisdom of God to answer all problems relating to the salvation of sinners. There is no problem, there is no obstacle, either in heaven, earth, or hell, that is not met with and dealt with and answered fully and completely in the death of Jesus Christ. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut His glories in when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. I see in the death of Christ, I see in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, I see in that ignominious, hateful, humiliating agony on Calvary, the power of God, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged by the grace of God beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. For His death is the power of God unto salvation. In Lamentation 1, the prophet Jeremiah said, speaking of Christ on the cross, is it nothing to you? What is it to you? All ye that pass by, behold and see if there be any sorrows like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord God hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. What is it to you? What is it to you? Is it a pack of foolishness? Is it nonsense? Sheer nonsense. Well, it is if you don't see the exceeding sinfulness of sin. If you don't see the emptiness and corruption and pollution, even of our best deeds and of our own righteousness, and if you do not see the justice and holiness and majesty of a holy God, which cannot be compromised, which must be dealt with in honesty and truth, yes, to you the death of Jesus Christ is and will remain utter nonsense. But to them who are being saved by the grace of God, the death of the Son of God is the power of God, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Now, I'm going to give you 5 reasons why Christ died, and I'm going to give them to you from the Scripture. If you care to, you can take some notes or jot down the Scripture or write to me, and I'll send you this tape. But here are 5 reasons from the Scripture why Christ died. Number 1, He died that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. In John 19:28, it says, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. And after He had received the vinegar, He bowed His head and said, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. He said, I thirst, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 3, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures are we talking about? We're talking about the Old Testament scriptures, Genesis through Malachi, all 39 books of the Old Testament. When our Lord Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples in order that they might understand the scriptures, it's recorded in Luke 24, verse 44. He said, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled." All things must be fulfilled. He died that the scriptures might be fulfilled. All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, that's the first five books of the Bible, in the prophets, that's the major prophets and minor prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. And then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said, "Thus it is written." Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to die and to be raised again the third day, according to the scriptures. He died that the scriptures might be fulfilled. You see, the trail of blood that ended at Calvary, the trail of blood that ended at Calvary began in the Garden of Eden. When God slew the first animal and shed its blood to cover the nakedness of fallen men. You see that? God slew that first, and the first blood shed was to cover sin. And all the way down, Abel sacrificing the lamb, Abraham sacrificing the lamb, the Passover lamb slain in Egypt, the atoning sacrifices offered in the tabernacle, all of this trail of blood from the Garden of Eden to the cross. It ended at the cross. This trail of blood is declaring that God's Lamb will come and die, and that'll be the end of the shedding of blood. John the Baptist said, "There he is. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Hebrews 10 verse 12 talks about all of the blood sacrifices Hebrews 10 does in the tabernacle by the priest. And then it says in verse 12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. His blood maketh atonement for the soul." Secondly, why did Christ die? He died to redeem us from sin, all sin. It says in Titus 2:14, "He gave himself for us." He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And then 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And then 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish." What am I preaching? I am preaching that God will pardon sin. I am preaching that God will forgive sin, but only on the merit of Christ's sacrifice and Christ's blood. Jesus Christ hath appeared in the end of the world to put away sin, to put away sin, to put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of himself. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's power in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. I'm telling you as plainly as the scripture declares it. God said, "It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. A bloodless religion is a Christless religion, and a Christless religion is a religion that offers no hope and no salvation. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Christ died to redeem us, to put away our sins. And then thirdly, Christ died that God may be just and justifier. That's what it says in Romans 3:25. Look at it. Romans 3:25. "Whom God hath set forth," that is Christ. God ordained him. God predestinated him. God foreordained him. God appointed him. God set him forth. God sent him in the fullness of time to be a propitiation. That's a mercy seat. That's a sin offering. God sent him to be a sin offering through faith in his blood to declare God's righteousness, that God may be just and justifier of them that believe in Jesus Christ. Let me put that as plainly and simply as I can. God is forever, eternally, unchangeably, infinitely holy. So indescribably holy, so unapproachably holy, that you can't even imagine his holiness. And then man is sinful, unchangeably so. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leper change his spot? Neither can you do good that are accustomed to doing evil. There's none that seeketh the Lord. There's none that understandeth. We're unchangeably evil. The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? In order that God may be just and justify sinners like us, something has got to take place between God and the sinner. In order that God's law might be satisfied or honored and God's justice might be fulfilled. And the only way, there's no other way, is for us to have a substitute, an acceptable substitute, a God-honored substitute, a God-ordained substitute, a God-appointed substitute. And he can't be a man full of sin. And he can't just be God who can never suffer. God can't suffer. Man can't satisfy. He must be the God-man. God became a man. And as God, he satisfied all that was required in infinite holiness. And as man, he suffered under the penalty of death and the agony of the cross. He died. Christ must die. There's no other way. He didn't die as an example. He didn't die as a martyr. He didn't die as a reformer. He died as a substitute, a sacrificial sin offering, a substitute. Now, fourthly, why did Christ die? He died that he might be Lord. Lord. In Romans 14:9, it says, to this end, for this cause, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. Now that's what Scripture says. He died and was buried and rose again that he might be absolute, immutable Lord of the dead and the living. Christ our Lord died to fulfill Scripture. Christ our Lord died to redeem us from sin. Christ our Lord died to enable God to be just and justifier. But Christ our Lord, when he died, bought the whole creation. He bought the world, the whole world. Because of his death, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, earth, and hell, and every tongue shall confess that he's Lord. And he said in Matthew 28, all authority is given unto me. I bought it in heaven and earth. He said in John 17, I have power over all flesh. It says here, he's the Lord of the dead and the living. You can make that believers and unbelievers, or you can make that dead believers and living believers, whatever. But he's Lord of the dead and the living. He died that he might be Lord. He bought the universe. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that in all things Christ might have the preeminence. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. You'd be wise to take seriously what I'm talking about this morning, because he's Lord. And then he died that he might show forth eternally the riches of his grace, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. This is the grand design of God in redemption. He's going to honor the Son. Christ is going to have the preeminence. The Father is going to honor the Son. And he'll honor those who honor the Son. And then the Father is going to put Satan and all evil forces and evil men where they can do no more harm. You can call it hell. You can call it everlasting condemnation. You can call it everlasting darkness, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. But Almighty God is going to put all evil men where they can do no more harm. Almighty God is going to have a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to populate that new heaven and a new earth with people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven, and they're all going to be conformed perfectly to the image of Jesus Christ. And all of that was accomplished in the death of His Son. It is the power and the wisdom of God. Now, I want to talk to you just a few minutes this morning about some books which I have written. I'll ask the cameraman, if he will, to put the camera on those books and show them to you on the screen. About 6 or 7 years ago, I began writing some commentaries on the 21 epistles in the New Testament. And I wrote Romans, as you'll see there on the screen, and I wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Galatians. And we offered these books, and several of you wrote in and received them, but we ran completely out, and I had to order some more. So we've ordered some more, and we've got them in stock. Now, if you'd like to have this book on Romans, that's a verse-by-verse study in the book of Romans. This one on 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, that's a verse-by-verse study in plain everyday language. Plain everyday language, anybody can understand. And the book of Galatians, send $5, and we'll send you all three of these books, all three of them for $5. If you'll write, we'll send them by return mail. Now also, this message that I just preached, this message entitled, Why Christ Died, is available on a cassette recording. And on the other side of this message, Why Christ Died, is a message that I'll be bringing next Sunday. And you can have both of these messages for $2. So let me make it as plain as I can. The books, we're selling them for exactly what they cost us. Believe me, that's true. God supplies our needs. But the books, you can have them for $5, all three of them. And then the tape message, Why Christ Died, and the one I'll be bringing next Sunday morning on the preacher's theme, send $2 and we'll mail you this tape. Now, it's been good to have you with us on this broadcast. And until next Sunday at the same time, I bid you a very pleasant good day.